I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Energy company AGL has been found to have breached Australian energy rules more than 16,000 times, involving its use of the government-run CenterPay system. CenterPay is a debit system that allows government-approved businesses to deduct bills from welfare payments. The Australian Energy Regulator alleged that AGL had overcharged 483 customers over the period of 5 years at an estimated total of about $700,000. The federal court ruled in the favour of the regulator, finding that AGL breached the rules about 16,000 times. 3,531 breaches were for failing to notify customers and 12,625 were for failing to refund money. The landmark judgment may have ramifications for three other energy companies that have been referred to the regulator as well. The Northern Territory's incoming Chief Minister says she will get to work immediately on reducing crime in the Northern Territory. The Country Liberal Party will govern a majority, ousting Labor after 8 years in power. With most of the votes counted after Saturday's election, the CLP has 16 seats and Labor has four. CLP leader Leah Finocchiaro says the government's priority will be addressing the root causes of crime.
I will meet with the Police Commissioner and Chief Executive of Chief Minister and Cabinet to outline the immediate work that must begin to make the Territory safe. We will do whatever it takes.
The Mayor of the Palm Island Council in North Queensland says a proposed social housing scheme would drastically reduce overcrowding on the island. The Palm Island Home Ownership Scheme would involve building up to 300 homes for residents to buy through a 99-year home ownership lease. Alf Lacey says it would change the lives of Palm Island residents.
I think it'll go a long way to addressing overcrowding in terms of, because it is an issue across all our communities in Queensland, which we've argued for so long in terms of better housing and better infrastructure. This is part and parcel of that step in terms of giving our people the opportunity to have a rent-to-buy scheme.
New research has revealed that technology can play a role in tackling problems in Australia's aged care sector. With a shortfall of nearly 200,000 aged care workers predicted by 2050, researchers at Charles Sturt University have been looking at how the use of artificial intelligence can improve the lives of residents. Dr. Zia Rahman told National Radio News that the use of AI is important to help ease the shortfall.
So we can deploy the system prototype, and then we can monitor all the activities from a central point.
Dr. Rahman says it's his goal to get the trial system into an aged care facility. The research is expected to be published soon. We'll have more coming up next.
Hello, Natasha Short here, inviting you to join me for Money Talks. It's the latest series of conversations in partnership between Kibble Jigars and Warangari Media. It features interviews and advice on all things money. We all need it, but how do we best manage it? How do we protect and grow it to gain control of our finances and improve the lives of our family and communities? And a lot more. Join me for Money Talks on Warangari Media, Galari, Packham Network and the National Indigenous Radio Service, bringing all us mob together around money.
Fa National Indigenous Radio Service for voices of our people.
Wild storms that ravaged Victoria at the weekend have died down but may build up again tomorrow or Wednesday. Heavy rain and thunderstorms hit much of Victoria yesterday, with the state's central and western regions hardest hit. Here is senior meteorologist Jonathan Howe with what we can expect in the next day or so.
This is where we saw very strong winds, large to even giant hail and flash flooding. In particular, Bendigo was quite hard hit by these thunderstorms. So Bendigo did see large to even giant hail of 5 to 6 centimetres in diameter. Also saw flash flooding, and there were reports of a funnel cloud as well in the afternoon. But more broadly, large parts of western and northern Victoria did see some heavy falls with flash flooding, and there were reports of trees down and also building damage.
To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you missed a bulletin, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit IndigenousBowelScreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Shine on Gimoy Festival returns from the 3rd to the 13th of October 2024. If you missed it the first time, don't miss it now. Experience the tropical foreshore of Gimoy Cairns like never before as it comes alive with a spectacular display of light sculptures at our Art Story Walk. Join us for the Calling Country Ceremony on 3rd of October on the Esplanade. Shine is a family-friendly festival celebrating First Nations' unique cultural and arts practices, presenting nightly black markets, daily music performances and deep wisdom conversations at the Salthouse Festival Hub. Be sure to secure your tickets to Shine on Gimoy 2024 and don't miss it. Come and see our new Dream Aloud concert at Munro Martin Parklands on Saturday the 5th of October, presented in partnership with QMF. Tickets are available at moshtix.com.au and we'll see you there.
Station sponsor.
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, new treatment hope for Aussies with invisible illness that halves life expectancy. We're talking life-changing modular treatment. Trikafta has just become available for children aged 2+ on the Pharmaceutical Benefit Schemes, PBS, previously costing families $250,000 yearly. Look, we're talking about all different illness. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Brother, Bradley Dryberg, cystic fibrosis fighter, storyteller, podcaster, and cultural marathon runner. So too deadly this brother, and we got him on the line. A very good morning, Bradley. How are you?
Trev, that was one of the slickest intros I've heard.
That?
You're slick with it, mate.
You like that, brother?
I like it, mate. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good, brother. Thank you. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, brother.
I'm from the Illawarra region, so the Darawal land down here, and mate, it's a beautiful part of the country. I'm so blessed to be down here, and you know, very much over the course of the last couple of years, Trev, learning a little bit more about my background and my pop side of the family, and sort of started to introduce himself to a bit of the mob down here. And I'm so unknown to us for a few years, you know, until you buy Nan an iPad, I should say, for Christmas, and she starts to do some digging into the family history and starts to meet people and learn. And
good.
So, mate, I'm certainly learning plenty about it this last couple of years, and it's exciting to know more about your background and where you come from.
Yeah, too deadly, brother. Fantastic. Well, as they say, Bradley, we are students for life, so we never stop learning, so more power to you. And look, my brother, you're a storyteller, you're a fighter, podcaster, and cultural marathon runner, but you do have cystic fibrosis. So tell us about this illness or this disease you have. Were you born with it, or explain paint the picture, brother, my brother, please?
Of course. So cystic fibrosis, I was born with that. It's the most common genetic illness in Australia. So one in every 2,500 newborn babies have cystic fibrosis, and essentially it is, it's different for everyone who experiences it, right? But cystic fibrosis in its, I guess, most known essence is a genetic and progressive lung disease.
Okay.
That also affects organs like the pancreas, the liver, and essentially it's a defective gene that causes a build-up of thick, sticky mucus in the body.
Mm.
And in the lungs, that means the mucus that builds up there becomes a breeding ground for infection and harbours infections that scar the lungs and make the condition of the lungs progressively worse over time, which is unfortunately why most people with cystic fibrosis have a life expectancy of 41. But also for myself, I was born with liver disease, so I've saved myself plenty of money hovering around pubs when I was a younger man because I don't drink. But also my pancreas doesn't produce digestive enzymes to absorb the nutrients like fat and protein from foods. So, you know, Trev, for the majority of my life, I've taken 30 to 50 tablets a day to manage the condition.
Yeah.
But I've been blessed, mate, with a great group of family around me who all believe that my life wouldn't be limited or defined by this, but rather we choose how we responded to the challenges that were placed on me as a young man. And because of that, I'm a healthy, happy lad with a bright future.
With a bright future, but all them tablets you're talking, you must rattle when you walk, my brother.
Mate, I'm like a maraca. I'm a walking maraca.
Shake, shake, shake. Shaking booty. But you're living life to the fullest, my brother. I'm just loving your attitude. And you are a fighter, storyteller, podcaster, a cultural marathon runner. And as I said, you probably pick up pole dancing on the side, cuss.
Mate, I'll tell you what, you said shaking that booty. So, mate,
never know. Watch this space. Yeah, good on you, my brother. So, how old are you, brother?
Man, I'm 28.
28. So you completed high school, yes?
On the side of the head.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
So starting a little bit of salt and pepper, starting to say I'm maybe looking more like I'm in my 30s than my 20s.
Hey, Uncle Bradley. Uncle Bradley.
Exactly.
So you completed school, yes?
Mate, I finished year 10 at school at the time. I was actually a pretty good student. I was probably blessed that I had a little bit of natural academic talent.
Well, you weren't a good student if you left at grade 10, brother.
Mate, that's it. Well, I had natural academic talent, but I didn't love the academic studies.
Yeah.
But I was blessed to find other things in my life at the time that inspired me and motivated me. So I went to TAFE and done a couple of years as in the fitness space and got my qualifications to be a PT, which I loved because it allowed me to be physical and look after my cystic fibrosis and stay active.
Well, when you're training up people, they got no excuse. Fibrosis. What's your problem? Get in there. Drop down. Give me 20. I mean, you can talk from
motivation, right?
That's right, exactly.
But Trevor, I was lucky that when I was in the gym training people, I found that probably my best talent was not for training people whilst I enjoyed it, but likely for the conversations we were having along the way, and that encouraged me to lean into a career that, for me, I could continue to connect with people.
Yes.
Use my What I'd like to think is my ability to develop deep connections and trust and help people through conversation. And at the time, a really natural route to do that was the real estate space where you're dealing with people every day. And I loved houses and property and
had an interest in that.
So I started selling some houses. And then at about the age of 24, I'd been on the last sort of couple of years between the ages of 18 and 24. My health had started to progressively get worse and test me with some bleeding on my lungs and some challenges there. And I'd fallen out of love with my job. And I just lost, I guess, that life in me. And I say that in a metaphorical sense that I had as a young man where I was always just motivated. I was a dreamer. I was always inspired. I had big dreams for myself. And, you know, every day I'd wake up and bounce out of bed with a smile on my face. And I'd lost that a bit.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so I decided to leave my career in real estate at the time and just go and figure out what I wanted from my life. And that looked like, you know, sitting down, what felt very natural and led by curiosity at the time in the podcast. And, you know, 240 episodes later and, you know, probably 30, 40 gigs speaking on stage and sharing my story, I found a passion for storytelling.
Good. Fantastic, my brother. Well, it's... Yeah, like there are 45-year-olds out there who don't know what they want to do with their life, you know. And as we travel through life, And this day and age, when we talk about the 21st century and industries are being invented before we even know it. I mean, like in 12 months' time, there's going to be a new industry. It's not here yet, but it'll come sort of thing. So you've got to be open-minded and find your calling, you know. So, but it's about just enjoying the journey and finding your space, virtually, isn't it?
I couldn't agree with you more, Trev. Well, I think there is a... I had a young man the other day message me on Instagram who listens to the podcast, and he's just finished his HSC, he's 18, and said to me, I'm lost, I don't know what I want to do with my life, what do you think? And I said, mate, this is the time of your life, because the beauty is you get to figure it out.
Yeah.
There's a great quote that I love from the book The Alchemist that the possibility of having a dream come true is what makes life interesting. Yes. And I think at some point in time we've decided that we're supposed to have all the answers by a certain age or by a certain part of our life or a certain chapter. And that's just really not the truth. We're ever evolving as humans, and that's the exciting part of life, is we continue to figure it out.
Exactly, exactly. And the other phrase I pick up, brother, and I'll share with you there's two most important days in your life. The first day is the day that you were born, and the second day is when you find out why you were born.
Yeah, I love that, mate. That's perfect. That's right.
I mean, like I said, we've just got to find our journey, enjoy the journey of life, and have a plan of attack. But if you go detour, then you're meant to go on that detour. And as you meet people and try different experiences, it's all a part of your journey, isn't it?
Mate, I love that. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, fantastic, brother. So listen, you've got brothers and sisters, Bradley?
I do. I've got a younger sister. She's 2.5 years younger than me. She's one of my best mates. We've got a really close relationship and always have. And, mate, throughout my childhood, she was just an absolute inspiration for me.
What's her name?
Her name's Shania.
Big shout-out, Shania. Big shout-out, sister. Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, she's, for me, mate, like, as a young man with cystic fibrosis,
yeah,
I never had any doubt about, you know, who I was or the fact that this was meant to be my path, because as an older brother, all you ever hope for is that your younger sibling strives to be like you, that you can be a role model for them. And, mate, we used to have to buy her strawberry and orange vitamins so she could take her tablets in the morning with me too as a young kid. And, you know, she just always looked up to me and wanted to be like me. And that gave me the courage and the strength to wear my CF as a badge of honour. Well, be proud of the fact that it was a part of me.
Now, that's fantastic, brother, and pardon the pun, but when you talk about and the illness that you have, cystic fibrosis, well, if you look at the last six letters there, you're her bro, she your sis, they're bro sis, you know?
So I like
bring
that.
That, brother, I just realised.
You're good at riffing. You're good at riffing.
It's all coming into play now, brother. I can see what's happening in your deadly life, you know? Tell us about thank you, brother. Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, mate, it's literally just born out of curiosity. I was always one of those... always one of those kids that, you know, that phrase where people say that kid's been here before.
Yep.
I remember hearing that as a young man, like from the age of six, through my years, I was, you know, always curious what the adults had to say at the dinner parties. I would sit up next to my mum and dad's mates and I'd ask them questions, and I'd walk up to the older kids at school, and I always wanted to be curious and ask questions and hear about other people's lives and experiences because it fascinated me that it was different to mine.
Sure.
And, you know, at the age of 24, when I was in search of, I guess, a bit of passion again and to find something that I could sink my teeth into and start to find that love for life again and that passion, I found myself behind a podcast mic, and it started very local here in my area, and then eventually it grew. You know, over the course of 4.5 years, I've continued to nearly every week sit down for an episode of this show and just speak to a range of people, and, you know, it's led me down a path of speaking to, you know, neurosurgeons, world-class athletes and Olympic medalists.
Beautiful, yes, beautiful.
I've spoken to people who have created billion-dollar businesses, people who are thought leaders in their space, or scientists, or, you know, entertainers and artists.
But just, you've even got average punters listening to your yarn, and that inspires them too, you know?
Mate, 100%, and I think this is what life's about, right?
Exactly.
You learn from each other.
Exactly.
And one of the things, Trev, and I'm still, I don't think you ever master it, right, but I say that the podcast is starting to make a real man out of me, because it's teaching me empathy. The more I speak to people and the more I realise that we all endure different challenges in life, we all have different experiences and views, and I love this idea of being able to differ in opinions on things but still respect each other in the process and learn from each other, because that's how things change.
Yes.
Without being able to have conversations, nothing changes. And there's certainly going to be things I'm ignorant to as a young man. I'm only 28.
Yep.
So there's still so much for me to learn. And I want to be able to do that through, you know, respectful conversations on the show. And so it's given me the privilege of doing that for four and a half years. That's quite a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's on all the major platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube.
Yeah, beautiful, brother. Too deadly. Well, we virtually wear the same hat, brother. I mean, I'm 58. I'm 30 years your senior, but I run a business called Success with Attitude. So motivational speakers we are, and you can check out the webpage with the acronyms Success with Attitude. That's swa.com.au. Do check it out, brother. But I'm picking up what you're putting down, my brother. And you've been a podcaster, telling the story, yeah, and motivating, inspiring people, talking to people. They say the best exercise for your heart is when you bend it down, lifting somebody up. And by you sitting on that podcast, brother, telling the story and yarn and stretching out, you are inspiring people and you are moving to people. And bugger the fact that you've got cystic fibrosis, you're living life to the fullest, brother.
That's it, my man. That's all you can do, right?
Yeah.
You can only play the card that hands you dealt.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, good yarning with you, my brother. Thank you so very much. Stay strong, my brother. We'll be in touch. And how do we find your podcast? What's it under, brother?
So, yeah, you can search A Lot to Talk About on Spotify, Apple, or YouTube.
A Lot
and
to
then
Talk
If anyone
about.
Wants to connect with the clips and the shorter form of the content, you can just find me by the name Bradley Driver on Instagram or any of these social media pages. And over the course of the next couple of weeks, Trev, I'm working towards my fifth marathon now. I've done one ultra and a couple marathons, or to try and spread that message that life is not limited or defined by this thing that we face as cystic fibrosis patients, but rather how we choose to respond to those circumstances. And for anyone who's interested in cystic fibrosis, the incredible team at CS Australia are doing so much advocacy work around drugs like Trikafta that are life-changing and life-saving for patients with cystic fibrosis. And we're trying to create a brighter, better future for everyone who faces the challenges that are linked to this disease. And I appreciate your efforts and your opportunity to have me on today, mate. It means the world.
Well, brother, you motivate the motivator. You are too deadly. Thank you very much for your yarn, my brother. Live life to the fullest. We'll be in touch. So a lot to talk about. Yeah, check out the podcast. Your name, of course, Bradley Dryberg. And also we can suss out the webpage for cysticfibrosis.org.au. Good yarning with you, Cuss. Keep smiling. We'll talk soon, Brad.
Can't wait for the next time, brother.
Take care, Brad. Bye-bye.
Thank you, mate. Bye-bye.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there. Bradley Dryberg, his name is. And looks like cystic fibrosis. He's a fighter, a storyteller, and podcaster. Do check it out. A Lot to Talk About is the podcast. And he's a cultural marathon runner as well. So, look, living the dream and not letting illness stop him. Living life to the fullest. And, look, take a page out of his book. Too deadly. Have you say yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. Too deadly.
Oh! G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bumma Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all the traditional owners across the beautiful country, as Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob? All is here. You can also text a brother, 045-714-0550, but don't forget that golden number, 1-800-422-416. All right, so we're going to catch up with Yarnav, Deadly Sister. We're talking Lydia Miller, Shine's cultural producer for Shine on Gimoy. And that is happening once again. Shine on Gimoy is an immersive First Nations and Bama-led multi-arts light festival led by artistic director, creative arts and festival pioneer, Rhonda Roberts, AO. But we have Lydia on the line. And a very good morning, Lydia. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Trevor?
I'm good, my sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Lydia?
I'm Guguyalanji, and I am Eastern and Western, and I'm also Wanyi, which is Western Queensland.
Yes, that's where we got connection there, my sister. Thank you very much coming along. Yes, they're now. Shine's our cultural producer. Shine on Gimoy. Yes. This is the second event, isn't it? The inaugural one was last year?
It is. This is our second year. We're really excited because, well, it's our second year, and I think what the first year showed is an incredible immersive cultural experience for everyone to participate in and just go, wow, this is the strength of Bama culture, but this is the strength of our culture for sure.
And being the first one, an inaugural one, like it's an unknown space. Go a mile, see a mile, but you produce a fantastic program, event as such, and here we are running again. So just paint the picture, partner punt, regarding the Shine on Gimoy for our listeners there, please, Lydia.
Shine on Gimoy this year in 2024, our theme is entwined, and that is that we bring together what we call the social ecology as First Nations people. You know, that's our philosophy, our language, our arts, our cultural expression, our thinking in terms of how we see the world as First Nations people of this region. So when you first of all come to Shine on Gimoy, we have this fantastic art story light walk through the Gimoy Boulevard, we call it, where we have these installations of 7-meter sculptures that are illuminated and they're suspended from the canopy of the Gimoy Boulevard, and that's on that eastern lawn precinct. And then as you wander through, you on the Thursday opening will participate, and it's free for all in the Calling Country, and that's where the dancers from the nations of the host nation Nyidinghi and then Gunganji, Yabaganji and Yalanji come together, including Torres Strait, come together to engage in ceremony and also expression of each of the unique identity of those groups, and that's our official opening. So that's what's there. And then you'll kind of, like, you know, weave your way up to the Salt House, and there's a fantastic music makers program. There are fantastic Deep Risen conversations. And then, of course, we have other activity that surrounds that as well. So
And a 10-day event, isn't it, Lydia? A 10-day event.
Yes. It's from the 3rd to the 13th. And because it's a long weekend, what we've done is focus a lot of activity on from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we're really excited to be able to do this again and then just enrich it. We've also got the Dream Aloud concert that's happening in Munro Martin Park. We've partnered with Queensland Music Trail. So that's a really big offer that's occurring this year to everybody, and a very strong emphasis on music. So we really love it if people go, yes, I'm just going to wander on down. That would be terrific.
Now, Shine on Gimoy, that's a free event for audience?
Yes. Some of it is there's free public access, and, of course, then some is ticketed. So please go to our website, Shine on Gimoy, and that will enable people to see what is on offer, what the tickets are. They're all reasonably priced, of course. And it's all under the artistic directorship of the wonderful Rhoda Roberts. And then, of course, we have the artistic associates, Raymond Blanco and Marilyn Miller. And we have an array of artists who we will be releasing coming up. So it'd be lovely to talk to you again.
Yeah, for sure.
And, of course, we work actively with the cultural guides panel that are representatives from each of those nations. I mentioned the Kunganji, the Yidinghi, Jabaganji, and Yalanji. So we're guided in all of our artistic and cultural considerations by, you know, Henrietta Marie Fulmile, and, of course, Ernest Brim and Francine Hollingsworth and Link Walker and Alvarina Johnson, and also Jerry Turpin, who is in Barbarum, and he's our expert ethnobotanist, because we really look at that combination of art, culture, country, and the science of our being. So there's a big invitation there.
Yeah, there is. And when you talk about the theme, entwine, well, you're talking about the art itself and regarding lights and culture and and music, whatever, but you're also talking entwine and regarding the different tribal groups at the table as well.
Yeah, and I think that's really important,
of course,
because
it is,
it's a really strong expression for this region, Far North Queensland, Tropical North Queensland region, and that strong identity enables people to understand country that they're on. So we're also working with tourism sector in terms of being able to say art connects, culture connects country. And so while you're here, and especially to all those visitors that come, while you're here, this expression is about country. So please engage in our wonderful offers by our tourism operators who operate on the waters, they operate, you know, up in the rainforest, they operate on the kind of savannah plains, and it's like, let yourself feast at this big banquet that we're offering you. So I think that would be really, it's a beautiful experience. It's immersive, and it also is deeply cultural so that people can truly understand what it is. And we really hope people get, you know, to the point where they call the boulevard the Gimoi Boulevard, where we have Welcome to Gimoi, where we have a language so that people start to understand that this is a culturally rich region.
Well, when you talk about tourism and you talk about Indigenous tourism, it's a $50 billion industry. So here we have our culture front and centre in regard to the Shine on Gimoi. And so for all our tourists have an opportunity, you know, most events complimentary, but they're getting educated on our culture and leave a beautiful taste in their mouth, you could say.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important because it's the strongest economy we have, is that we would really love to see young people, and not just young people, but even mature people, inspired to participate in the economy by involving themselves, not in only what we call the creative industries, but also the tourism industry and also those industries that, you know, people feel proud to represent. And also it's an engagement to be able to say to people, let me educate you while entertaining you or while exploring with you what this means, what this area means. And that's everything from the Great Barrier Reef. You know, these are natural wonders to sitting down with people, like, you know, going, walking on the beaches and catching your own food, to understanding what the inlets are, you know, and what the environmental factors is, or even what the skies are, because the skies also have great meaning for all of us.
Yes.
And I think that's the way we build a strong sense of who we are going forward in the future, but everyone can participate. And I think that's important as well, that we start to simulate, you know, how can we grow our employment of our communities, can we get economic returns in our community, how can we manage our environmental, you know, priorities. And I think we've got this fantastic partnership with JCU in the talks, and we've got an extraordinary number of, you know, young people going through and engaging in getting degrees and disciplines in areas that interest them, everything from heritage to science to, you know, all the technology realms, and you go, this is truly exciting what's occurring in our communities.
And when you look at our culture, it's a powerful vehicle as well in the entrepreneur sense in regard to First Nation business people at the table as well. So that creates that space too, doesn't it?
It does. And we've got black markets that are also being held along the boulevard, and those black markets, we've got great artisans. We also have tourism operators that we're going to have included, but the businesses means that you can be aware of how you can buy black, if you like.
Exactly.
Buy black, you know. And in that, it means that we are supporting each other, and that's really important that we support each other to be able to develop our communities and strengthen and grow our communities and create choices for next generation. That's really part and parcel of the magic of being able to, you know, bring that all together in a festival site such as Shine on Gimoi, where it's like going, look, this is who we are. How wonderful.
Exactly. And the fact that this is the second year, that's a good indication what you did first year works. It's powerful. It's a powerful event. And we're doing it again, of course. So it should be an annual event.
Yeah, we really hope so. And we're saying to people, come on down, just experience it and tell us what you think. And, you know, if you've got ideas as well, come and tell us. That would be really, really fantastic if people did that.
Exactly. Yeah. Lydia, nice talking with you. We'll be yarning again, coming closer to the date, Thursday, 3rd of October, Right through to Thursday, Sunday, 13th. October. Fantastic. Yeah. So we'll talk again later. But thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out to your team. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be in touch. We'll entwine down the track.
Oh, lovely.
You take care, sister.
Okay, you too, my brother.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Deadly Yarn, that's Lydia Miller, Shine's cultural producer for Shine on Gimoy. And the theme this year is Entwine, the second year, inaugural year last year, of course. And it was a real hoot. It was fantastic. And the amount of people that are brought to the table in regards to the tourism space, and regarding hotels and regarding restaurants and what have you, it was a fantastic space. And so, of course, they're doing it again and gives an opportunity for our culture, First Nation culture, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture, front and centre. Fantastic. So do check it out, your mob. Lock that date away from Thursday, 3rd of October. That's the opening ceremony, calling a country ceremony, and takes you right to Sunday, 13th of October. Too deadly. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Baldy One here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your deadly program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong, you mob, too deadly.
Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, Mom. it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, you Deadly Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Have you saying yarn up strong. And we go for 1 hour on this daily program. And a big shout out to NERS, National Israeli Service, for putting us across the airways. Fantastic. Look, the National Drowning Report 2024 released by the Honourable Anika Wells MP, Minister for Aged Care, Minister for Sport, showed drowning is a persistent and traumatic issue that affects thousands of families, first responders and communities every year. Look, sad, the numbers are up. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Lauren Miller, Senior Research and Policy Officer at Royal Life Saving Australia. Lauren, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. It's very sad, but the numbers are up higher than last year regarding drownings as the National Drowning Report comes to the surface, pardon the pun. Please enlighten us regarding numbers.
So the National Drowning Report is published by the Royal Life Saving Australia in partnership with Surf Life Saving Australia, and we found that there was 323 drowning deaths that occurred over the past 12 months, and this is a 14% increase compared to last year's. So it's quite sad that we're seeing now more drownings that occurred this year. But we have when looking at our report, we have some insights that we've noticed there are trends that are occurring, particularly with those over the ages of 65 years and older.
Yes.
We noticed that they represented over a quarter of drowning deaths this year.
Okay, so when you look at those numbers, 323, too many. We need to bring these numbers down. Is it around summer that it usually happens, drowning?
Yeah, summer is usually our highest. Our highest number of drowning deaths usually occur in summer. This year it was definitely in December. However, interestingly, March was the highest as well, and it's the highest that we've seen over the past 20 years. So, like, the highest has been in March just for this year.
And so when you're talking about 92 adults have drowned, 65 years old drowned was 28% of the total of 92 adults. So those numbers are high. So a message to our elders out there, need to take care, need to, don't go over your limit, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to be aware of our limits, and especially when it comes to the conditions of the water as well, keeping in mind not to go out alone. Mm-hmm. And even though we might feel fairly confident in the water, it could be very, it could change, the conditions can change drastically.
So if we're talking 92 adults and they're 323 drowning, so all the rest are children?
All the rest are usually, mainly between 25 and I would say 44.
Okay.
Children, however, on a lighter note, there were 15 children under the age of 5 that drowned this year. This was down by 25% compared to the 10-year average. So this is good.
Yeah.
However, we really want to make sure we're supervising our little ones.
Yeah, so we tend to get lackadaisical, especially when we're around families or partying and having a good time, because water is a draw card for entertainment and having a good time. But it can be vital in regard to detrimental, the liquid, in regard to safety and the life of a person.
Absolutely. I also wanted to take note of this really interesting point that we ended up finding is that drowning rates are actually increased tenfold from age 10 to age 20, which is likely due to the increase in risk-taking and the lack of swimming, water safety, and life-saving skills. So it's just really interesting that from the ages of 10 and all the way to 20, drowning astronomically increases.
Drowning rates increase ages 10 to 20, you're saying? Due to
increased
risk-taking.
So between age 10 to 20... it increases like tenfold.
And we're talking risk taking there, a lack of swimming or water safety.
Yeah.
diving in or not thinking or doing somersaults, that sort of stuff, because people are vibrant at that age, between 10 and 20. And if we're not careful, like I said, it can cause death.
Correct, exactly, which is something we really want to, you know, prevent.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, fantastic regarding the fact that we're talking about it. It should be talked about, and we need to be not lackadaisy around water. And we're talking the ocean, we're talking creeks, we're talking swimming pools, backyards, rivers, all the above. Yep.
Yep. Yep. 46% occurred at coastal locations. So this basically included beaches, which were the highest locations. They represented over a quarter of drowning deaths at coastal locations.
Yeah, well, the heat is on. It draws us to the water. We need to be very, very careful and lackadaisy. Like I said, we're talking about partying and entertainment, what have you. Is alcohol a factor?
Absolutely.
It is.
Which is why it's crucial to avoid alcohol and drugs when around water. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Lauren, thank you for sharing. Look, it needs to be talked about. And actually, we don't want to be talking with you on radio every year, you know. We can talk about the beautiful swimming spots, yeah, because there's no drowning, and point them out. But, yeah, when we're talking numbers and statistics, it is very sad. But thank you very much for sharing, Lauren, and we are having this conversation. It just enlightens, sheds light on the conversation, sheds light on being alert, being aware, and let's not be lackadaisy. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All the best. You take care, and we'll yarn soon, Lauren.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Deadly Yarn, Lauren Miller, her name is Senior Research and Policy Officer at Royal Life Saving Australia. Yes, we cannot be lackadaisy, you mob. It is very sad. 323 drowning in the last 12 months. Very sad. And that's 14% higher than last year, which 278. So there's more drowning than there was last year, but there shouldn't be any drowning whatsoever. We need to take care. As Lauren pointed out, 92 adults, 65 years or older drowned. That's 28% of the total. The largest number ever. So that's sad. And 15 children under the age of 5 drowned. So that is very sad. And this was down 24%. So the numbers are down there, which is great. But it's still a loss of 15 people. So... look, very sad. Let's not be lackadaisy and be alert and, you know, watch the alcohol, the drinking, the partying around water, around the beach. Be alert, and especially with our children. It only takes a second. Keep your eye on them. Close the gate, you know. It's very important. But, look, have you say, you mob, add to the conversation here. This is National Talk Black, Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout out, NERS, your daily program, National Talk Black, too deadly.
Yeah. HP. I'm gonna make a name for y'all. All my indigenous people, this one for y'all. From the east to the west, they label me indigenous. I'm one of many blessed, bringing you the vocal effects. From the gay now's nest, my wings flap until they stop. I be dropping these island warrior raps. I'm just a typical black, so I suggest you lay back. Listen to this fella rip off the mic on this track. I'm on a mission, no time for comers dialing my digits. Interfering with time for rhymes and beats that I'm mixing. My true ambitions, I'll prove it ain't no counterfeit play. I know if you're listening closely, then you might know what I'm saying. I don't spray, my rhymes flow smoothly onto the page, a quintessential rapper coming out of the stripes. So while I continue to glow and flow, yeah, I know that the bass, the rhythm and the vibes in your face. It's the baller with a capital P. I'm putting it down for the HB. You ballers can't see me. You ballers can't see me. East Coast, the far north is where I'm dropping my rhymes. Indigenous people around, are you feeling my vibe? Let me stop, drop and roll it and just keep it alive. Cause I'm a Holloway's critter till the day I die. Picked up the mic and started spitting, gave you all a surprise. Yeah, we creeping on the come up and coming up on the rise. It's time for my people to stand up and be recognized. Cause we sick of being harassed by cops and government lies. Every day is the struggle, everywhere is the same. Where there's people causing trouble, where the first they blame. I'm sick of these games, these ways and the lack
lack of respect we get. So I wrote rhymes, now I'm ready and set to blow. Stick a finger in the police face. This fat beat is like a repeat of the Mabo case. These politicians afraid to look me straight in the eye, 'cause they know that my people are coming up on the rise. What?